Council.
From the Breslin Center to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 7:30 a.m. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
Time to play the game.
Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't the safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the game, 7:30 a.m. app. Message the game, 7:30 a.m. on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Now, here's your host and professional Hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on the game, 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us. It's a Thursday edition of the program. We will keep right on in theme with what we've done the rest of the week on this show. A chance for you to win a pair of tickets to see True TV's Impractical Jokers live at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th, just 3 weeks from tomorrow. Here's how that works. Everyone who participates with the show today, by phone, email, Facebook, or messaging in the app, will get themselves entered into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of the show today. One of you walks away with a pair of tickets to that. I've been doing it every day this week. Congrats to yesterday's winner, UPS Paul and Hazlitt. So we've got today and tomorrow, two more chances for you. Okay, still out there. Let me remind you of all the ways to get in. And by the way, it's not a specific topic you have to weigh in on, just whatever. Just engage with the show and any topic we're talking about or anything like that. Phone line 517-300-4263. The email address on the program is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use the free game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text to us. If you don't already have the app, shame on you, but I am a forgiving man. So if you're not driving and you're otherwise safe to do so, get out your smartphone, iPad, whatever it is. Go to your app store, whether it's the Apple App Store or Google Play, and search for the game 7:30 a.m. Pull up our app right away, download it, takes a few seconds. There you go. Pretty handy. You can also use Facebook today. Search Facebook for the game 7:30 a.m. Send us a message or post a comment. That'll count towards a contest entry as well. Okay? That's all out there all day on today's show. So here's where I wanted to start some big news today in college football for the Big Ten. Remember just a few months ago, was it June, May, something like that, the Big Ten released its new conference schedule and format for creating the conference schedule in an expanded Big Ten. And then like a few weeks after they revealed that, which was a very painstaking process to put together because of the complications of an enormous league like this. Just a few weeks after figuring that out, they add Washington and Oregon. So that all went out the window. Well, today the Big Ten announced its new conference football schedules for the next five seasons, 24 through 28. And let's go over the nuts and bolts. I'll read you from ESPN.com's story about this. So the new format they call Flex Protect 17. They need some marketing help in the Big Ten conference office over there in Rosemont. But anyway, so it features a combination of protected opponents and rotating opponents, just like the old one did. Here's Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti talking about it. Quote, "We added two more teams, but that changed everything. We got to go back to the drawing board and do this rotation again. We're staying with a lot of the principles that were in place when we did the original announcement back with USC and UCLA being integrated. The core concepts, competitive balance, connecting the whole conference. Trying to be mindful of travel, all those things are still in place here. Protecting the traditional rivalries, all of those things are in this process." All right, I'll read you Michigan State's, but before we get into that, there are 12 protected rivalries in the new scheduling format. So these are 12 matchups that will continue to be played annually in no particular order. I guess this is alphabetical order. But the 12 protected rivalries, again, which will continue to be played every single year, are Illinois versus Northwestern, Illinois versus Purdue, Indiana versus Purdue, Iowa versus Minnesota, Iowa versus Nebraska, Iowa versus Wisconsin, Maryland, Rutgers, Michigan, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oregon, Washington, and UCLA, USC. Those are the 12 protected rivalries, which will continue to be played every single year in the new Big Ten format. Okay. The Big Ten does say that travel considerations are a big part of how they figured this out. They want to keep things logistically sane for the quote-unquote student athletes, but also for the budgets of the programs and all that. Whether that's true or not, you can make that decision on your own. But anyway, let me read you Michigan State's Big Ten Conference schedule for next year, 2024. They don't have the order necessarily, but they do break it down in home versus away. Next season, Michigan State will play these conference foes at Spartan Stadium. Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers. So they get five home games and then four away games in conference next year. Those four away games are Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, and Oregon. Okay, I can read you through the rest. Here's 2025. This time it's four home games, five away games in league play. The four home games are Maryland, Michigan, Penn State, and UCLA. The away games are Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and USC. So Michigan State will not play USC and UCLA until 2025. But they get to go to Oregon in 2024, next season. Here's the 2026 slate. Michigan State has five home games, four away in Big Ten play. The home games, Illinois, Nebraska, Northwestern, Oregon, and Washington. The away games, Michigan, Rutgers, UCLA, and Wisconsin. In 2027, there's four home games, five away games. At home, they get Indiana, Michigan, Rutgers, Wisconsin. On the road is Northwestern, Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue, Washington. And then in 2028, this is the last year they have planned out so far. Five home games in league play versus Iowa, Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, and USC. The away games, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, and Oregon. Big takeaways here. At the conference level, Penn State has no protected rivalries. Is that smart or not smart? I don't know. I'm not sure if that'll be beneficial to them or not. But I do know, like, looking at the schedule here, Michigan State plays over the next 5 years. They play Penn State, what is it, just twice. That used to be an every year game. How about Ohio State, which is not protected for Michigan State? Michigan State plays the Buckeyes in the next five seasons. Is it two or three times? Two times. Two times in five seasons. That's a win to get them off of the schedule. I do think the smartest move is Rutgers and Maryland saying, hey, let's be partners here. That's the only protected rivalry between the two of them. That's probably wise. I don't know, though, and how much of this matters. If the Big Ten expands again, you know, I'm guessing that would render 25 and onward pointless, right? I don't think they're going to squeeze someone in to start next season. It would probably be 25 or later. But anyway, that's the point. I think the way it works is you will play, you're guaranteed to play every team in the league no more than three times in a five-year period. But you will play every team in the league over the course of that five-year period. But no more than three times in that same 5 years, okay? And remember, no divisions across the 18 teams. Just going to be the two best records that get into the Big Ten title game. They also kind of vaguely word this, and I'm kind of reading between the lines here, but they kind of vaguely word this so as to leave the opportunity in the future for there to be not just, obviously, there's going to be a Big Ten championship game, but a Big Ten semifinal system. So it'd be like the Big Ten, instead of just having a championship game, has a four-team playoff, a four-team tournament to determine the Big Ten champion. They kind of leave the door open for that. That is not explicitly laid out, but if you read it, you'll see what I mean. Anyway, there it is. Okay, now, you can weigh in on that. That's fine. You've got any hot takes on the schedule. If I apply it to what we know about MSU's non-conference, here's Michigan State's schedule next year, the full football schedule. They open at home against Florida Atlantic. Week two, they bring in Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns. And then week three, they're on the road at Boston College. And then comes the Big Ten slate, which we don't know the order of yet. But again, next year, five Big Ten home games, Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers. And four Big Ten road games, Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, and Oregon. So in the non-conference, you have a true road game at a Power 5 opponent. Is Boston College anything special? No, but still, that's you're putting yourself behind the eight ball there. A lot of schools don't do that. Don't put a Power 5 team in the non-conference to get them closer to achieving what they want win total-wise, right? And then you look at this league slate. I mean, look, man, we knew this was coming. It's going to be tougher. Home games against Ohio State, that's obviously going to be a bear. Maybe Iowa. And then road games at Michigan and at Oregon for sure will be tall challenges. And, you know, Michigan State hasn't had easy runs of it at Maryland and Illinois lately either. And then you look further down the line, the schedule's not getting easier. So the reason I bring that up is I wonder, and I'll put it to you, and you tell me, does the new and frankly loaded Big Ten football schedule for the next five seasons change your priorities for MSU's coaching search? And does it change who maybe you may want them to hire now? Obviously, over the last 72 hours, there's been a lot of dialogue in this fan base, sports radio, sports media, Twitter, about Urban Meyer, right? Now, whether that's real or a fantasy doesn't matter. The point is it divided the fan base. Pretty clear lines drawn in the sand of the fan base. Some people say absolutely not, that the character matters. And then you got people like me who say, I thought this was about winning. So of course you should go after Urban Meyer. Even if he tells you no, so be it. As they say on the other side of this building I'm in right now, you can't be told less, and you can't be told yes without asking for the sale. What's the harm in asking? Even if, you know, there are a lot of people out there, oh, he would never take this job. Okay, fine. So what's it hurt to ask? He just says no and it's over with. That's my take on that. But I'm wondering now that we see what a, frankly, bitch this conference schedule is going to be going forward, what that's going to be for Michigan State. That change your mind about maybe, oh, I don't know, let's just give old Harlan a chance. Or, you know what, I think Mike Elko will do pretty well here. he should be our plan A candidate. Does this change your mind on that? We've talked about it a lot in generalities, but now we have the specific schedules laid out. It's clear that it's going to be a bear going forward. I bet you we'll have more schools scheduling three group of five cupcakes, maybe lower, bringing in FCS schools because of how tough the college or the conference slates are getting. But with that in mind, what do you want State to do in the coaching search? Another way I would phrase this is everyone who's been invoking character over the last 72 hours as the fan base has been obsessed with Urban Meyer, for better or for worse. Looking at the future of this league and what the schedule is going to look like every year, that change your mind yet? Or you still want to be hung up on character? Do you want to win football games? Or do you want a Boy Scout leading you to 6-6 or worse every year? It's clear to me. I'm not in this for any other reason than to win. I don't care if the coach is a bad person that I wouldn't want to have a beer with. I could care less. I'm not going to spend time with him. The time I'm going to spend with him is watching the product on the field. I do not evaluate him by how good of a Christian he is, by how good of a family man he is or isn't. I could care less. Just telling you, because it's not fair for me to come out and ask you a question that I wouldn't give you my stance on. I'll take a call right now. 517-300-4263. Is this Michael?
Yes. How you doing?
I'm good, Mike. I forget. Where are you calling from?
Here in Lansing.
All right. Mike in Lansing. All right. Go ahead. You want to weigh in on this, the schedule and what it means to you, if anything, about the coaching search and priorities there?
Sure. Number one, forget about Urban Meyer. That's not going to happen. He's got too much. He's doing well right now. He's 59 years old. He's too old. However, that offensive coordinator for Ohio State, he's would be a pretty good coach here. He's young. He's hungry. You know, he's proven, Ohio State, you always get all the top recruits from there. So that means he's got good connections there in Ohio, and I'm sure they've recruited Michigan as well. But he's used to recruiting the country for the top, the best people around because they're Ohio State. He'd be pretty interesting to go for.
So, and secondly, yeah, hang on. Hold on that second point. I'll let you get to it. I just want to go through these one by one. I'll give you all the time in the world you need to make your other points. So you're talking about Brian Hartline, who was a receiver at Ohio State and is in his first year as the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He's been the wide receivers coach for, I think, 5 years. And look at the guys he's recruited, developed, and put in the NFL. Virtually, most of the big-name wide receivers in the NFL are Ohio State Buckeyes now, right? So you're absolutely right about that. But what I'm wondering is, do you think at this juncture with how this is all changing and we just went over the schedule and what a bear it's going to be for everyone, let alone a school starting over like Michigan State in the future, can they afford to go with a head coach who has no head coaching experience and only 1 year as a coordinator?
Why not? He's young. He's a go-getter. He's proven himself pretty good as an offensive coordinator.
Well, it's been like five games, though.
You got to get someone young. You got to get someone in their 30s.
I tend to agree with you on that.
Now,
yeah.
Nowadays, you can't take 2 months off like these coaches in the past were used to taking off.
Yeah.
It was June and July. You can't do that anymore with these kids. The way the media is and that, heck, it's 365.
Yeah. It's increasingly become
you gotta do something.
You're right, and the coaching ranks are increasingly becoming in college football a young man's game. I just wonder, do you think that's as good as Michigan State to do? You're a Michigan State fan. Do you think that's as good as they can do?
Well, it's a pretty darn good start.
Okay, now what's your second point? Go ahead.
Yeah, what do you think of possibility of Clemson and Florida State? They want to know something by the end of the month or so.
Right.
Because they want to make a move.
How right.
How about adding them to the Big Ten?
I think it makes all the sense in the world from both sides of it. I see why they would want in, obviously, more money, the most money. And then I see why the Big Ten would want them. They don't have footprints down there. And they would make sense, I think, for the most part, The only issue I would see is Florida State is not part of the AAU, which the Big Ten cares about. I don't understand why. I asked interim president Teresa Woodruff about that a couple of weeks ago. She says it matters, and she's way smarter than me and a career academic, so I trust her. I just don't get it. I don't know why the Big Ten cares about that. But obviously, yeah, they make a ton of financial sense and football sense. Now, the problem there, and let me recap. I'm sure you know, Michael, but for people who may not know, there's this thing called grant of rights. And basically what that means is everyone in the ACC has signed this contract to remain in the ACC, I think, through the end of the next TV deal, which is another 8 years. And basically what that means is to get out of it, you have to pay X million dollars per year that you'd be leaving early. So if you do the math, Florida State and Clemson would both have to pay like a massive $40+ million fine to leave early. Now, here's the thing. For the last few months, Florida State and Clemson have both publicly retained massive legal firms to find ways out. And there is, I'm guessing the reason you're mentioning that is I've seen a lot of chatter, specifically from Clemson's, like people online and Clemson message boards over the last week. They seem to believe an announcement is coming in October that they've found a way out and are open for business to either leave for the SEC or the Big Ten. I don't know that. That's just what they're saying. But look, where there's smoke, there's fire, and they want more money. The big problem here, and I'm sure you know, Mike, but for everyone else who may not, the big problem is Florida State and Clemson have both approached the ACC saying they're unhappy with the TV money deal they have, and they believe it should not be equal. They believe they should get more of the pie because they're responsible for more of the pie. The ACC says, no, that's not how it works, and now they're unhappy and they want out. My question would be then, you know, you bring them into the Big Ten. I think that's good. I would love to have Florida State and Clemson in this conference. Awesome. The problem is how long until they start raising a stink here and saying they need a bigger cut than Northwestern, for example.
Or Rutgers.
Right. Right. They'll make the same case here eventually, right? And you can't deny it, but they're right. But the point is that's not how it works, and the Big Ten certainly isn't going to change that. I think it makes sense. I would like to have them. How about you?
That'd give the Big Ten a nice footprint down there, and which we don't have. And that's where a lot of the speed comes from. I mean, you know, look at when Urban Meyer was at Ohio State, you know, he was at coaching in Florida prior.
Yeah.
Well, he got that speed that they have down there, brought that to Ohio State, and look what happened. I mean, you know, they're blowing out people, except, you know, the last couple of years, Michigan's beat Ohio State. But still, they brought a little bit of a different style to the Big Ten, and it's worked. It's been successful.
It
has. Bringing in more speed than power.
I agree with you. Anything else before I cut you loose?
One last thing. Did you have a winner for last week's total point?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about that on Monday. Hold on. I can repeat it for you. Give me 1 second.
I had 41.
Someone had it right on the nose. I just don't remember who. Yeah, someone.
That's
it was
awesome.
It was 42 right on the nose. Sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but we announced it Monday. Thanks for the call, man.
Awesome.
I appreciate it, Mike.
Thanks.
Good to hear from you. Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled for the Florida State Clemson news. I don't know that that's imminent, but I did see a lot of stuff from the Clemson corners of Twitter and the message board world that they're expecting some news this month about their ploy to get out of the ACC early. We'll see. But I think that would be huge in the conference expansion wars. If the Big Ten could land Florida State and Clemson, you know, two enormous football brands right in the SEC's geographical footprint. Sometimes all you need to know about whether something would be a good strategic move is what your opponent thinks of it. Do you think the SEC would be happy, the Big Ten, landing Florida State and or Clemson? Of course not. They want them. Well, that tells you it's a good move for the Big Ten. A similar application of that, you know, belief would be what we've talked about the last 3 days, Urban Meyer. Have you noticed the loudest group of people not within this fan base complaining about Urban Meyer to Michigan State? Have you noticed what they all have in common? They're Michigan fans. They don't want that. That means that's a good idea. Anyway, you can still weigh in on that. Look, I'm the topic I want to get to again today, The Big Ten schedule is out for the next 5 years, and it's getting way tougher for everybody, not just Michigan State. But it's going to be especially tough if you're starting over with someone in ahead of their skis at head coach. You know, I don't like to deal in absolutes. I know it's kind of a sports radio thing, and I'll do it occasionally for a bit. But in general, if you deal in absolutes, you're going to get yourself burned, because the world is just more complicated than either or black and white. It's not that simple. There's a lot of gray in between. But I feel like we're in an either or situation. We are in one of those absolute situations because of the nature, really the turbulent nature of college football's landscape and how it's changing so much seemingly all the time. And then right here in our own backyard, the Big Ten is expanding. And let's be real, set for more expansion. It's only going to get tougher. The arms race and fundraising wars are only going to get more contested. The recruiting battles are going to get tougher. The NIL wars are going to get tougher. With all that in mind, can Michigan State really afford to not get a proven guy right now at head coach? And I don't want to get into, I've heard so many people say, that's the most important hire in the history of this program. Well, but you could say that every time the job's open. Of course, it's the most important hire because it's the one right now. That's real easy to say. It's kind of like every time a quarterback gets a new, you know, big deal in the NFL, it resets the market as the biggest deal ever. Well, of course, that doesn't mean that he's better than everyone else. It's just because it's the most recent one to happen. Same here. Of course, it's the most important hire in the history of this program. It's the one happening now. It's always going to be that way. So with that in mind, does that change your perception about what Michigan State ought to and ought not to prioritize in its next coach and who they should or shouldn't be talking to? This is not just about Urban Meyer, but I do want to bring him up because he's kind of like the lightning rod in this. I've heard a good chunk of you invoke character and how much it matters to you. That's your personal decision. I personally think it is severely misguided. I thought the point of a college football coach is to win. I thought we were past all this nonsense about developing young men and making them productive members of society. No, this is about winning. And I think the sooner you embrace that reality and drop the charade that this is about anything other than that, about money and winning, you'll be better off. But that is your prerogative if you really care about character. I would just ask you this. Character matters to you, huh? Okay, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Michigan State regularly winning double-digit games and challenging for an expanded playoff, which, you know, that'll be easier to get into by virtue of you could regularly, you could have two losses and get in, but the competition in the conference is going to be way fiercer. But yeah, would you rather regularly contend in the conference and for the college football playoff with a guy who's an absolute dirtbag that you don't agree with morally or on the character level, or would you rather have Clark Kent, the ultimate Boy Scout, at head coach and settle for 5-7 to 6-6 to 7-5 every year? I mean, it's real easy to say that you care so much about character. But when push comes to shove, do you? Do you care more about that than you do winning? Because I don't think you do. And that doesn't make you a bad person or a POS. That makes you normal. I've seen it happen everywhere else. Anytime any guy with some sort of controversy gets hired somewhere, if he wins, it all goes away. It doesn't matter. Guys, Hugh Freeze had prostitutes on the payroll at Ole Miss. Prostitutes, hookers, sex workers, whatever you want to call them. He retained the services. He had hookers on retainer for recruiting purposes at Ole Miss. Got busted. Got fired. Went and did a nice little rehab stint at Liberty. Made them really good for a few years. Guess what? He's back in another premium job in the SEC. Probably a better job in the SEC at Auburn. Character doesn't matter. It might between your ears, but the truth is, in reality, it doesn't. So Urban Meyer is obviously going to be the center of that conversation, but I'm not talking just about him. There are other coaches out there that are dirtbags that you may not want to have a beer with, or you wouldn't be thrilled about being the face of the program. But let me ask you, what do you want more? Do you want a nice, good family man? Or do you want a guy who's pushing for 10, 11, 12 wins every year in a Crystal football? This is a business. Ain't got time to play nice, especially with what's coming starting next frickin' year. This is the time. This is an inflection point. College football is already about haves and have-nots. And despite what the media is feeding you in this state, Michigan State is a have. Top 20 revenue. That's really what it comes down to. 12th in revenue last year. God-awful year. Only 11 schools made more money than Michigan State. That's a have. They're a have. But you're going to be relegated to the have-nots if you screw the pooch on this hire and you bring in Lance Leipold. Or God forbid, hey, at least Lance Leipold has head coaching experience and has built a couple of programs. But for the love of God, if they do something as categorically stupid and incompetent as hiring Dan Enos, who failed at Central and hasn't even been that good of a coordinator, or worse, and I got to believe this isn't even possible, but give the permanent keys to Harlan Barnett. I mean, we should all just quit. What's the point anymore? This all boils down to a singular question. Is Michigan State serious about college football? We'll know based on who they hire. Doesn't mean if they hire anyone other than Urban Meyer, doesn't mean they're not serious about it. No, there are other guys for this job I think would be excellent hires. He's obviously the one at the top of everyone who's not pretending to care about characters list, because he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and he's available. I get that. But there are other guys too. We can talk about that if you want. But Michigan State has to answer that fundamental question. Are we serious about this? We've got the money. We've got the resources. We've got the support. We've got the facilities. We've got the history and tradition. We've got everything everyone else who's serious about it has. A little bit less than some, but a little bit more than others. But are we serious? Because I tell you, man, the kind of Mickey Mouse crap we've done in the past, can't do that now. Can't do that now. So that's the question. With the new and loaded Big Ten football schedule officially released for the next five seasons, does that change your priorities for and who or whom you want Michigan State to target in its coaching search? Does it have any effect on that? And should it or should it not? Here are all the ways to weigh in today. And remember, everyone who calls, emails, messages, Facebooks in, whatever it may be, on any topic today, especially that one, earns you an entry into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of the program. One of you walks away with a pair of tickets to see Impractical Jokers from True TV fame live at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th. Here are all the ways. Phone line 517-300-4263. Email the show, beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu to send over a free text to us, or use Facebook. Send us a message or post a comment. Just search Facebook for the Game 730 AM to do that. Other stuff on the docket, the two-day Title IX investigation hearing conclusion, whatever you want to call that, into the sexual harassment claims against Mel Tucker by Brendan Tracy is happening right now on campus. Tucker's legal team announced earlier today he would not be there and pointed to some new evidence that they think exonerates him. We'll talk about that. I also want to get into a little Tigers if we have time today, because we're at the exit interview phase of the season and the organization says it's committed to fixing Javi Baez. Interesting. Well, More power to him. But to me, that sounds like a 5'8" man committed to getting to 6'4". It just ain't possible. We'll get to all that and more today. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 7:38.
Sure, you could listen to static.
Or you could get the free Game 7:30 AM mobile app in your app store today and listen longer
without the interruptions from the static.
Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 7:30 AM app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 7:30 AM app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
Bye. Got a hot take?
Boom! Hot take!
Offensive-minded phone lines are open.
517-300-4263. All right, we're back. So the Big Ten has released its new conference football slates for the next five seasons. Spoiler alert, it's a bitch for pretty much everybody. And we knew that was coming. That's a good thing for us as consumers of the product. But it's going to make things harder on our teams. And with that in mind and the inflection point we seem to be at in college football as a whole, and that lining up at a critical time for Michigan State, made even more critical because of the opening at head coach, I'm asking you, does the news today of the next five conference football slates and how difficult it appears to be, does that change your priorities for this coaching search at MSU? Does it change who you'd like to see them target? Heard a lot of you over the last 72 hours categorically dismiss Urban Meyer because of quote-unquote character concerns. I guess I'm kind of singling you guys out because I don't give a damn about that stuff. I'm not married to the idea of Urban Meyer specifically as the next head coach here, but I am married to the idea of getting a guy whose number one quality is winning football games and building a winning football program. I could care less about what kind of father or husband, brother, cousin, Christian he is. I don't give a damn. He's paid to win football games. That's my take, but I'm asking you, with what's going on now, what do you care more about? Does character really matter more to you than winning? Does anything change now that you've seen what this Big Ten slate's going to look like going forward, starting next year? 517-300-4263. To the phone lines for Chip Paul. What's up, man?
Beanie, how are you?
I'm good. What
Love
you got for
show.
Us? Oh,
Love
thanks,
your
man.
Show, Beanie. But you know what? I'm a free agent. I listen to a lot of sports talk shows throughout the state, you know, and I've been noticing, and I'm not sure that you've necessarily held this view, but I'm getting the sense, though, that, and I don't know where this came from, that hiring a coach at a mid-major school is like taboo now. I mean, you can't even consider it, or else you're considered a small-time university that you're even considering hiring someone from a Mid-American Conference school. I mean, would you agree that there's that sentiment out there?
Well, to be honest with you, I guess I'm not super familiar with what everyone else is saying, but that's not a rule for me. Now, where I draw the line here, I'm not interested in a guy who's been in the MAC or a Group of Five school for something like 8 years, like Jason Candle. Right.
No,
like,
I agree with that.
But
no,
if it's
I certainly
like,
agree with that. You're,
I'm with you, though. Like, I don't dismiss it. I'm not going to shut those guys out from the consideration. If you do that, Urban Meyer never becomes Urban Meyer because he was only at Bowling Green for 2 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You stole my point.
Oh,
there,
sorry. Because, go ahead. I'll pretend I didn't.
No, that's fine. I mean, you wouldn't have an Urban Meyer if someone didn't take a chance on this guy from Bowling Green University.
Yeah, or Bo Schembechler. How about that?
The patron saint of U of M football, also from a Mid-American Conference school. I mean, it's done all the time. Brian Kelly, CMU. So I, you know, I'll just come right out and say it. It's the dude from Detroit who's saying that we should not even consider a Mid-American Conference coach. I think that's just really closing yourself off.
I do too.
A potential really great candidate.
I do too. But I don't. I also don't know. Like, is there one in specific that you're thinking State needs to look at out of the MAC or any number of them?
Not necessarily. It's just a blanket comment and concern of mine. Like, if you feel that you're at a certain level where you're not even going to lower yourself to consider hiring a coach at a lower level school, I just think that's ridiculous. I think with that kind of logic, you never would have hired Mark D'Antonio in the first place.
Yeah.
Arguably the best coach you've ever had.
Yeah.
I mean, so I just think that's nonsense. But
me too. I think a lot of it gets hung up on like the image and the sex appeal of the name. And I get that. Like, I think there's at least something to be said about that for appearances' sake. But and I think given the magnitude of the moment here, a lot of Michigan State people, maybe not all, maybe not even a plurality, but a lot, want this to be a recognizable name for the marketing value, which I understand. I'm not necessarily beholden to that, though. Like,
right.
It doesn't have to be that.
To me, Mark, you might not get the sexy name right up front, and that might not be good for marketing purposes, but I tell you what, the bottom line is wins. And if you can get the right guy in place that will win you games,
yeah,
that'll sell you some tickets. But to move on to the comment,
sure,
to address the comment you made just before the break with Baez, I mean, this is the one thing that, as a Tiger fan, I was worried about. I mean, I think they've kind of turned a corner. They have some young people, some young players. They have a core of young players here. And there seems to be other guys in the pipeline, the minor league pipeline, that will be coming up. But, you know, and for that reason, more than anything, I don't understand why you're going to try to hold on to this loser. To me, it's a sign of this owner, Mr. Ilitch, Chris Ilitch, that he's absolutely just really going to pinch every penny. And in baseball, you can't do that. You cannot run a team and maximize every dollar. You're going to have to acknowledge mistakes that you make and move on from them. If you can't afford more than a $300 million payroll, or if you want to stay within a tight budget like the Oakland A's, then why are you even an owner? Just sell the damn team. Because, this is not a franchise that deserves to be run like Moneyball. This isn't Kmart here. I mean, I know Michigan's the home of Kmart, but you know what? The Detroit Tiger organization has one of the most loyal followings in baseball.
Yep.
And we don't deserve, a real cheap-ass operation.
Totally agree.
That's really all I have to say. They got to get rid of Baez, because I think it's pretty clear that – I don't think the guy can be salvaged. He just can't.
Totally agree. And baseball, it more than any other of the other pro leagues, is one that necessitates spending to contend. And that's not an opinion. Just go and look. Look at the teams that are in the World Series and win it every year. They generally are at least top 10 in payrolls. Like, you just can't do it without investing the money. Go ahead.
And furthermore, Beanie, you can't have a guy who's a cancer. And, I just think that he he's in to collect his money. And I've seen many times, and I've also, a lot of people agree in the media, that, he just doesn't seem to care. He is not earnest in trying to improve. And in fact, he's a malcontent. And this organization, with so many young guys, impressionable young guys coming up, they don't need someone like that. They need real leadership on this team.
Yeah, I'm good with that too. He'll be 31 next season. Here's what I get tired of hearing about how he was unequivocally all around the single worst batter in all of Major League Baseball this year in terms of like everyday players. Oh, but his defense is still Gold Glove caliber. No, it's not. It isn't. Dan Dickerson himself, let's talk about Dan Dickerson for a second.
Oh my God.
Dickerson's checks are signed by Chris Ilitch. And he said multiple times this year that it seems like an overwhelming number of Baez's throws from short are in the dirt. This guy is not some elite shortstop anymore. That ain't a saving grace.
Torkelson saved him. Torkelson saved him from so many throwing errors. I mean, yeah. You know, I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's maddening to watch this guy go out there every day swinging wildly at pitches way off the plate, and then just throw lob balls over to first base, and he's collecting a huge paycheck. I mean, it's maddening. I'd rather they just cut him loose.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, like you said, they got a spendthrift of an owner who can't stomach the idea of paying, like, whatever it is, like $80-plus million for the guy to just go away. But, dude, you know, because of where I grew up in the southwest part of the state, I know, frankly, I have a lot of loved ones who are Cubs fans. So I know a lot about the Cubs, not because I follow them, but because people I care about do. And I knew long before he was a Tiger that this guy is one of the most mercurial and frustrating players in baseball. And that's when he was in his prime, when they won a World Series like 7 years ago. When they got him.
It's the Al Avila gift that keeps on giving.
It really is.
I mean, that was one of the worst signings of his administration.
It's his parting kiss of death to this organization.
Absolutely.
Because This is how he's always been. This is not all of a sudden he fell off the face of the earth. He's always been an incredibly undisciplined batter. He's always been incredibly streaky. And it makes no sense for an organization who, you know, since Scott Harris came in, the very main talking point and the fundament of this organization's approach was going to be owning the strike zone, right? Discipline in the strike zone. But you have the most undisciplined batter of a generation in the middle of the order.
Absolutely. Beanie, I'll leave you with this. To use a reference back to my happier childhood days, he is the anti-Trammell.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Thanks for the call, Chip. Appreciate it, Chip Paul. Yeah, it sucks. I'll just play you the sound right now before we get out. Here's Scott Harris yesterday in his like year-end press conference, season-end press conference. This is him talking about the organization's approach and commitment to Javi Baez going forward, courtesy of the Tigers. Take a listen.
I think there are some things that we can change about his work, about the specific things that he's working on to make some adjustments that help him both at the plate and in the field. But, you know, we haven't done it yet. Like, we haven't gotten the best version out of Javi. We have to do that this offseason. We have some things we're gonna share with him in the exit interview, and we have some new ways we feel like we can support him this offseason.
One of the reasons I'm encouraged with Javi is
AJ Hinch now.
Actually, the fact that he did talk to you guys about his struggles and about his where he's at right now, because that gives him a really good place to build from.
It's gonna back to Scott Harris.
It's gonna take an organizational effort in Javi, but the best thing, the best takeaway that we can have here from Javi is, like, he's really motivated.
I don't know about that. That's my response. He's really motivated? I mean, he controls his future here. They can't get rid of him without paying him to go away. He can opt out, but why would he? He's not going to get a better deal anywhere else. I don't know too many major league teams that would sign up for a serious long-term deal for that right now, would you? I thought the best hope they had was dealing him to someone at the deadline who was trying to make a run and maybe thought he could be useful in the field or a pinch hitting kind of role. And still, they would have had to absorb an overwhelming percentage of that money. So I don't see any way they avoid paying most, if not all, of that. And he's just going to take someone else's spot. They could be playing a kid there, getting him meaningful reps. You mean to tell me they can't find a kid in Toledo that'll hit better than 220? That'll have an OPS that's at least approaching 700? Yeah. But Scott Harris says that Javi Baez is engaged and committed to getting better. My official response:
you sure about that? You sure about that?
It's offensive minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. Why would you argue with people online about sports when you can argue live over the airwaves?
Cut the BS and let's get to the truth.
Sports and sports talk is on the game, 7:30 a.m.
The future of joint pain relief is here. It's QC Kinetics, advanced regenerative medicine. This is amazing stuff. If you've been told more steroids or surgery are your only options, don't move so fast. Get a second opinion and learn more about how you can harness your body's own healing agents to attack that joint pain. I'm talking about lasting relief. QC Kinetics doesn't mask the pain. These treatments go to the very root of the problem, using concentrated healing properties placed directly in your aching joints to restore and repair that damaged tissue. Imagine living your life this fall with no more pain in your knees, hips, shoulder, or back, and without drugs, downtime, or surgery. Listen, life is about motion, and QC Kinetics is giving people their lives back with these all-natural treatments. Call the local medical professionals and get a free consultation today. QC Kinetics, the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. Call 616-315-0166. That's 616-315-0166. Locations in Grand Rapids, Holland, and Lansing.
If you're hungry for a taste that is out of this world, look no further than Gravity Smokehouse Brewing Q. Sink your teeth into their mouth-watering house-ground brisket burgers, crafted with precision and passion. Plus, Friday nights at Gravity Smokehouse are even more fun, with great drink specials and $2 off their incredible burgers. Send your taste buds to the moon with Gravity Smokehouse Brewing Q. They're not just smoking, they're smoking good. Gravity Smokehouse Brewing Q, off Cedar Street in Holt. Savor the flavor today.
WVFU, East Lansing, a Town Square media station. We're the station you've turned to for sports for over 30 years. The game, 7:30 a.m. From Comerica Park to Jackson Field, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports radio station, The Game, 7:30 a.m., and I'm so glad you're here with us. Thanks for making me the choice. Offensive Minded, the choice. The Game, 7:30 a.m., your choice as a soundtrack driving home from work tonight. Here's what we've been talking about. The big topic du jour. The Big Ten has released the full conference football schedule for the next five seasons, beginning with next year, 2024. Spoiler alert, it's an absolute bitch. There are going to be no less than four really tough games every year going forward for every single team, right? And it will be on an uneven schedule. Some years you'll have five home games. Some years you'll have four home games in a league play, that is. It'll go back and forth. You are guaranteed to play every team within 5 years, but no more than three times, unless it's a protected rival, which will be played every single season. Don't worry, MSU-Michigan is one of those protected rivalries that will be played every single year. But that's the only one for state. So you avoid, I think in the next 5 years, you only play Ohio State twice. You only play Penn State twice. I think you only play USC and UCLA twice. Same for Oregon and Washington. That's a good deal for them. But anyway, take a look at it. If you haven't seen it for yourself, go online. You can find it anywhere, Twitter, whatever, the Big Ten's website. Look at state's schedule in this conference going forward. And then remember that next year, on top of here, I'll just read it for you. Here's state's non-conference schedule next year, next football season. State gets Florida Atlantic and Louisiana at home. And then their last non-conference game is a true road game in the Power Five, at Boston College. And then the conference slate. In no particular order, we don't know the dates yet, but Michigan State will play five Big Ten home games next year. Indiana, Iowa, Ohio State, Purdue, and Rutgers. The away games in league play will be Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, and Oregon. That's a bitch. That's an absolute bitch. With that in mind, I'm asking you, seeing what this conference schedule is going to be like going forward, does that change your mind about the priorities for you may have for MSU's coaching search? Specifically, I'm talking to all you character people. All you people that are so concerned about the next coach being a good person. You really value that more than winning? Because we are at an inflection point where the gap between haves and have-nots is going to get cavernous starting next year. Can Michigan State really afford to roll the dice on someone who's not a proven winner, but also is a stand-up, awesome guy, the Bible in his hand, and is an awesome family man? I just don't think that should be a priority. But then again, I recognize none of this has to do with school or cultivating great young men. I'm just in this to win football games. And I think that's what everyone is. But some people just choose to believe, I guess, a more convenient version of reality that places any value whatsoever on someone's personage or academics or anything like that. I just don't think it's ever been about that, at least in a long time. And it certainly isn't now. This is about winning and money. Don't get that twisted. I'm just asking you, does the new loaded Big Ten football schedule for the next five seasons change your priorities for and whom you want MSU to target in its coaching search? Remember, everyone who participates in the show today is entered into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of the program. Someone walks away with a pair of passes to see Impractical Jokers live at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant on Friday, October 27th. Here are all the ways. 517-300-4263. You can use Facebook. Search Facebook for The Game, 730 AM. Send a message or post a comment. Use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free message. Or email us, beanie@wvfnam.com. Let me read a couple on Facebook. Derek says, go get Coach Prime. James says, no thanks on Coach Prime. I'm going to need more substance than that. Nathan says, I don't think the new Big Ten slate changes my priorities. Need a program builder who understands NIL and how to use the portal. I believe that will find success. There's a lot of holes, and you're going to have four plus very challenging games a year no matter what. And Chris says, Chip Kelly. I think, okay, one of my buddies who lives in Detroit texted me that in Detroit radio today, they're talking about Chip Kelly, that MSU should go after Chip Kelly, which I would support. Fine. He built one program in Oregon into a pretty stable, consistent winner, and he's turned UCLA around. It took a couple of years, but they're up there every year challenging for 10 wins. They have a nice offense. It's modern. And he's doing that at a cash-strapped place like UCLA. What could he do with actual resources at MSU? Remember, the only reason UCLA is joining the Big Ten is to pay down debt. They are horribly in debt. 517-300-4263. Gary in East Lansing, what's up?
How you doing, Beanie? Just talking about the coaching. I'm listening to you guys and listening to you. And I know that Urban Meyer's name, you've kind of bandied that around. And you're probably aware of this. I apologize if you've already made a comment about this, but Tim Stout is scrolling on the bottom of the screen, and he makes an announcement last night that Urban Meyer has, you know, come out and said he's not interested in the MSU job. Now, whether they still decide to contact him or if they have contacted him, it could be one of those famous clips down the road, like our friend Nick Saban, when he said he wasn't interested in the Alabama job.
Yeah.
And he always talks, as we know.
Yeah, or so it could be a famous time like Urban Meyer the week before he took the Ohio State job, saying he didn't want the Ohio State job.
Most definitely. So I don't know if he's in the mix or not.
Me neither.
I know there's good and bad, but I got done watching on ESPN the guys talking there. It's at the Pat McAfee show, and who's quite a character. And they were showing highlights, and they're talking about Jacksonville State, and he obviously got Rich Rod as their coach. And he gave a little bit of his background. Of course, you know, Michigan, he said it was too highbrow of a school, didn't really work out for him. But he mentioned that Michigan State might be a perfect landing place for him and how much Rich Rod hates Michigan. this could be embraced by the Spartan faithful. Of course, they wanted to know how old he was, and they thought he was about 60. But they kind of think he's the father of the spread offense, or at least the uncle of it.
Yeah.
And they hold him in high esteem. But they said middle of the week football, Jacksonville State is worth tuning into watching. So there was a name that I haven't heard coming from anywhere that really sounds pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
To me, Rich Rod, I hate to say this, but he kind of reminds me a little bit of John L. Smith as far
yes.
as getting into this level of football. So I don't personally see that as a good fit.
Me neither, Gary, and I got to leave it there just because there are other callers. I'm with you. Yeah. Look, obviously it flamed out spectacularly at Michigan, but it also didn't go too hot at Arizona. I mean, the first 3 years at Arizona were pretty good, 8-5, 8-5, 10-4, and then it just fell off the face of the earth into mediocrity. Yeah, I think there's a reason he's at Jacksonville State. Let's just put it that way. No offense to the Gamecocks of Jacksonville State, but nah, I'd pass on Rich Rod. I think the story is pretty much over there. And yeah, he's on the wrong side of 60. Just doesn't make a ton of sense. But I'm not against retread hires either. I want to make that clear. I wouldn't disqualify retread hires. I think the best team in the country so far is a team helmed by a retread hire who was a disaster and had to rehab literally and figuratively, first at an actual rehab for, you know, substance abuse, then rehab his coaching image under Saban for a while. And I'm talking about Steve Sarkisian. Texas, I think, is the best team in the country, top to bottom. They're the most complete, at least it looks like. They got a serious shot here. We'll see. But look, he's a retread at one of the most high-pressure jobs in America. And it's working out so far. So I wouldn't be against a retread just to begin with. I'll tell you one that I would be interested in. And look, this doesn't mean that I certainly haven't heard anything that Michigan State is interested in this guy. And I don't know that it would be a slam dunk, that it would work out. I just think it's worth considering. Tom Herman, another guy who was at Texas. And remember, he didn't get fired from Texas for not winning. He got fired from Texas for not winning enough. They averaged 8 wins in his 4 or 5 seasons there. Before that, he built Houston into a New Year's 6-game winner when they were still a Group of 5 school. He comes from the Urban Meyer tree, was at Ohio State, the offensive coordinator, top assistant in the country his last year there. Obviously has recruiting chops down here. He's at Florida Atlantic right now, and they're not very good. But, I mean, do you think Nick Saban would win at Florida Atlantic? I don't. And he's only like 48. That's someone I would look into, as long as we're talking about retreads. 517-300-4263. Rob is on the line. What's up, Rob?
Good afternoon. I assume you're talking about some of the coaching
sure.
candidates. Couple of them would be, one would be the LSU defensive coordinator.
Matt House, who played and then was a grad assistant here. Let's go one by one, so I'll let you finish. But just talking about him, do you realize they're ready to, like, hang him in effigy in Baton Rouge because LSU's defense has gotten gouged a couple of times?
Okay, I guess I'm not aware of that, but...
Yeah, their defense hasn't been... Let's just say it's not up to LSU standards. I know, you know... Obviously, he knows what he's doing. Their defense has been good within the last couple of years, but he's also, you know, pretty inexperienced. And let's see, I'm trying to figure out how old he is. I think he's still in his, maybe even his 30s even. But anyway, I'm not trying to shoot down the hire. I'm just giving you my thoughts as you go through. Who else?
The other candidate, and I don't, in hypothetical, I don't think he'll be on the list per se, but if the Giants decided, if he decided it wasn't working with the Giants, that Brian DeVal, who's actually a brilliant offensive mind, if mm-hmm. by chance he decided to go to college, that might be a candidate worth looking at. I don't think he'll be in the top 2 or 3 candidates, but that might be off the radar candidate that no one's talking about.
Here's the problem, Rob. He has no college track record. That means we don't know if he can recruit. We don't know if he's even cut out for the recruiting lifestyle. You know, we don't know. He knows nothing about NIL, transfer portal, any of that. He's never been a college coach. I look at his resume. He was a volunteer assistant at William & Mary for one season in 1997. I guess he was a grad assistant here, too, for a couple of years right after that. But he's been gone from college for a quarter century. I think it's a huge risk. We have, like, no track record to work off of. Obviously, he's a good offensive mind in football, calling plays. I don't know. I don't think he can take that kind of risk. Do you?
Right. Well, in summary, the reason I mentioned a couple of candidates like that is because, like Tim Stout was saying in the last, like, week or so or whatever, this position is not as attractive as what it used to be. So I don't know what candidate they think they're going to get that's going to automatically come to Michigan State.
Let me ask you about that, because
next year
I do a tailgate show with him, but I didn't hear him say that. He said it's not as attractive of a job as it used to be, or what did he say and what did he mean? Rob? Well,
that's essentially what he said, that it's not.
Okay.
The position is not, well, partially that, but also there's more, unless you understand what it takes to be like MSU.
So, yeah, I get that part of it. I think that there is something to that, because we've talked about it on this show. Michigan State is in a tough neighborhood. And what I mean is you've got four of the greatest programs in the history of the sport relatively close that you have to literally compete against on the field pretty regularly. But then you're constantly going up against day by day and recruiting and fundraising and things like that. Yes, yes. But I don't know what Tim's talking about. I didn't hear him say it. But to say this is not an attractive job or not as attractive is absolute bat bleep crazy. It's a top 20 job. They just paid a guy who had no business, no track record really outside of one good season. And at that point, it was only like 7 games. They gave him, excuse me, I'm allergic to Tim's BS takes. it was a 10-year, $95 million contract to a guy who really didn't earn that. So that alone makes it attractive. The money is there. And by the way, people want to criticize that contract, fine. But I think overall, it's kind of good PR in the coaching community. The book is out. Michigan State has deep pockets, and they're willing to use them. This is absolutely an attractive job. And right now, look, we're only, what, a quarter of the way through the season? It's the best job available right now. I don't think that changes unless Nick Saban retires and or Jimbo Fisher gets fired at A&M. It's the only really good Power 5 job available right now. So don't believe that when he says it or anyone else. That's absolute madness.
Okay.
I'm disappointed that someone on our own airwaves is saying, I got to be honest with you. And I work with Tim. You know, I do tailgate shows with him, have for a long time. But I would expect more out of someone who's been doing this for half a freaking century. Like, I get it. Sometimes you're too thick for the forest for the trees thing. And I get that Michigan State is inept at the leadership level. I understand all that. And I also don't expect them to get this one right. But the facts of the matter are, dude, we've talked about so much. Top 20 in every category. This is a excellent job. There's only maybe 15 or so better. So you can, next time you hear Tim say that, call him up and post him up. Tell him Bean sent you.
Okay. Okay, I'll do so.
Anything else? I didn't mean to rant on you. That just pissed me off a little bit. Go ahead.
Okay. That should be it. I think that's covered.
All right, man. Well, thanks, Rob. I appreciate it. Can't believe Tim said that. This isn't an attractive job. Oh, really? Really? You don't think virtually any other head coach in college football now knows that Michigan State will pay top dollar for a guy who doesn't have a track record? Now imagine what a guy like Urban Meyer could get out of Michigan State. The book is out. They pay. There's money here. God, every day I'm fighting this fight, it feels like. Why? And this isn't about you, Rob. This is about Tim. And I'm disappointed it's coming from here. Like, it's one thing when it's from 6 to 9 with a guy who doesn't live in reality. But the fact is, Michigan State is a top 20 program, a top 20 job, any way you cut it. Now, the problem is that doesn't mesh with the narrative being peddled out of this state. You want to know why Michigan State makes poverty program decisions a lot of the times? because the narrative has polluted so many minds here into thinking it's a poverty program. Dude, you name it, it's top 20. Revenue, 12th last year, 12. For those of you out there who may struggle with math, that means only 11 schools out of the 130 so in the Division I FBS, only 11 made more money than Michigan State last year. Only 15 or so had more eyeballs on their games last year, which was an awful 5-7 campaign. Only 19 schools had more butts in the seats, again, during an awful 5-7 campaign. And in an outdoor stadium where once we get past the halfway point, it sucks to be at weather-wise. 600,000 living alumni around the world. 4 billionaire mega donors who are regularly lining up to just hand money over. Top 20 all-time in NFL draft picks. 7th all-time in the Big Ten in the number of Big Ten championships, and they've been in it. What? Only a few teams have been in it less than them. Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, and Nebraska. Top 20 all-time in national championships in the AP poll era. What Tim's saying, what other people are saying, that's not reality. This is a good job. And listen, it doesn't change if Michigan State goes out there and makes a crappy hire. It doesn't change that it's still a top 20 program and a good job. Let me ask you this. Do you think Tim would say Michigan isn't a good job? Well, Michigan's not an attractive job anymore. I didn't hear him saying that when they hired Brady Hoke. Their brain dead hire. Look, man, sometimes the big jobs screw it up. Sometimes the big programs hire dumbasses too. It happens. Look at all the dumbasses Alabama ran through until they finally got it right with Saban. Do you remember what a joke Alabama was? They hired Price from Washington State, didn't even coach a game because of a strip club problem. Texas might be the best job, top to bottom. Look at all the guys they've run through. And 3 years ago when they hired Sark, everyone was making fun of him. Oh, they hired a drug dealer. They hired a pill head. Couldn't cut it in L.A. It happens. Just because you screw up a hire doesn't mean it's not a great job. There's only a handful better than this one. We'll go to break. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 738.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on the Game 730 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and the Game 730.
You might be mad at what he just said, but it's okay. He's ready for your opinions, too.
Beanie Howell with Offensive Minded
on Lansing's only sports station,
the Game 730 AM.
All right, we're back. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is the Game 730 AM. Topic du jour with the Big Ten unveiling its new schedule for football here. Conference slate, that is, for the next five years, and it's loaded. It's tough. Not just for Michigan State either. I mean, everyone in this thing is guaranteed at least 4 and probably more. Absolutely loaded schedule of hard games is what I'm trying to say. Good Lord. Yeah, it's going to be tough. With that in mind, with State having to make a hire, I'm asking you, does the new and loaded Big Ten football schedule for the next 5 years change your priorities for and whom you want MSU to target in the coaching search? Let me read a message we got in the Free and Game 730 AM app from Sam in Lansing. He says, with only 4 Big Ten home games every other year, when does the Big Ten drop all the cupcake games and only have conference games? Have the toughest schedule and have a Big Ten playoff. We don't even need the NCAA anymore. Or maybe have an SEC Big Ten challenge the first week of the year and then all conference games. Easy money, which is what this is all about anyway. Interesting idea. I do think it won't be long before they go to 10 conference games, but I do think we will at least have 1 or 2 cupcake games for the foreseeable future, just for padding that, you know, win total and kind of functioning as like exhibitions, like a preseason schedule. All right, I'm about to get back to the phones, but I wanted to tell you guys something fascinating that happened during the break. The phone rang, so I answered it. And it was someone named Abean, and I had him spell it for me because I thought I was hearing it wrong. A-B-E-A-N, calling from Green Bay. And I thought, is this real? Now, remember, we went to break, and I was losing my mind because apparently Tim said, Michigan State is not an attractive job, throwing every measurable statistic to the wind, apparently. Abean said, is that even a name? Abean in Green Bay said, you're delusional. And I'm doing my best to sound like him. You're delusional. You're delusional. And you're calling Tim delusional because you're delusional. And you're saying all of this about Michigan in the past because you wish everything that was happening at Michigan State right now was happening to Michigan State. It was happening at Michigan right now. You're delusional. And I said, okay, hang on. You're not on air yet. And he hung up. Which is really unfortunate. I think we all would have enjoyed hearing that when the mic was open. It was incredible. And trust me, I didn't do it. I didn't do it as faithfully as Abean did, but it was incredible. That would have been great radio. But anyway, to address his points, that's only fair. I mean, I've got facts to back up that Michigan State's a top 20 job in every empirical way. I've got the facts on my side, Abean. What do you have? Hurt feelings and an extra chromosome, apparently? And of course I wish something like this was happening at Michigan. Duh. Wouldn't you wish it was happening at, Ohio State or here when bad stuff was happening to your program? Sorry I'm normal. Sorry I have the correct number of pairs of chromosomes. Jesus. 517-342-63. Frank in Lansing has been waiting with the patience of Job. Hi, Frank. You there? Go ahead. What you got for us, man?
Not a whole lot. Some may sound kind of crazy. When you were saying about Alabama wasn't another ingredient to saving come along, you were right. I remember they couldn't win a game. People always blame about Alabama, blah, 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 blah. The problem with Michigan State is this, my idea, that they have never had a coach that just let it all hang out. Let them be a gunslinger. Running game, passing game. We haven't had a coach like that. D'Antonio, people's God, he had that one great season when they went to the Rose Bowl. They were a kick-ass team.
They had three in a row where they were top five, right? Though that was pretty good. What do you mean? We've never had a coach that was. You're saying Michigan State's coaches are too conservative on offense?
They were too conservative. The top players who want to come to school that are conservative, man. They want to come where they can let it hang out. Let their talents really show.
I think that's right. I think you're right.
First and three, first and four.
Yeah.
Oh, four. They don't like that. They want to be out there where they're getting nationally recognized.
Yeah.
And their talents are on display.
Yes.
D'Antonio was a good coach. They had one that last year when he went to the Rose Bowl. They had a defense. They had an offense. They had a quarterback that could move his feet. He had an attitude. He was cocky. And everybody, I love the dude, man. I hate to see him. He didn't graduate, you know?
Yeah.
They should have got the dude that was the defensive coach. What's his name? At Pittsburgh?
Narduzzi?
Narduzzi. I think he'd have been a good coach at Michigan State. He knew everything going on.
I don't know. He hasn't been very special at Pitt, though. They average like 7 wins. It's pretty mediocre there. And he's been there for like 9 years now.
Has he been there 9 years?
It's been a while, yeah. It's been like 2016. Okay, so he's in his 8th season now, but... Yeah, they've averaged 7 wins. It's kind of blasé. I don't know. I'm with you though. Like I think the way recruiting works now is you got to be able to sell like pizzazz, and that's why I would say hire an offensive coach because that's easier to sell than defense.
Right, and if you follow, I know people are hating on prime time out there in Colorado, but he's got 5 stars calling the big to come to play for him.
Yeah, it's true.
If you can't see where that program is headed to, you're a hater.
Yeah.
They're going up. They really beat the hell out of who did this play last night? I keep forgetting.
They lost to USC, but they did whatever they wanted on offense.
They should have won that game. The last quarter,
They
should have won the game. They got people calling in all the time, want to come play for him because it's a jazzy program. They get publicity. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a coach. He knows the game. But he's going to be good for Colorado. He brought in $93 million the first 2 weeks up there.
Thanks for the call, Frank.
$93 million.
I know.
Go ahead. I got you.
Thanks for the call,
I'll
man.
Call next week.
All right. I just got to move because other people lined up. But there's no doubt there's a marketing component to this now. That's why I would hire an offensive coach, because it's easier to sell. It's more sexy to recruits, right? I think you can turn a program around faster with the offensive coach approach. Joe in Lansing's on the line. Hey, man.
Yeah, that's not too bad of an idea, offensive coach. But, I'm looking at, and the younger generation and be nice. I mean, USC, they got Lincoln Riley. He's in his 30s, isn't he?
Yes.
Not that old, but yeah, I mean, don't get somebody that's too old, but you got to build, D'Antonio had, a stretch of 5 years or whatever where they did good, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to get into which would probably never happen, where we're like, I mean, it is a top 20 job. It is. You can't say it's not because it is.
Every number proves it.
Yeah, and it's that they're willing to hand out the money, but I'm just wondering when this search is. Are they already searching candidates right now? Because they got to start butting heads pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, here's
the spring training.
Look, I don't know. I'm not there, but I can tell you. Think about it this way: the search is not a search yet for guys who are currently coaching. Like, what coach is going to take an interview in week 6? It just doesn't happen.
No.
Now, you can still conduct things through, proxy, you can have people reach out on your behalf in an unofficial capacity and just kind of talk that way to gauge interest, sure, but Michigan State will not be interviewing any sitting head coaches or assistant coaches until the end of November. That's just the way it works. Could they interview Urban Meyer? Yeah, because he's available. He's not coaching. He just does TV. That's why some people are reporting that he actually already interviewed. I don't believe that, but I could be wrong, I guess. But yeah, there's no real search to speak of yet.
So they could start even like you're talking, and so after the NFL season, they could look along the lines of the NFL coach.
I don't know if you can wait that long though. They got to move early signing periods and all that, so you got to.
Exactly.
Generally, it's like in the interim between the regular season and the conference title game/bowl games is when the interviews and movement happens. Right. So I don't anything. This is why I did that public service announcement yesterday. Basically, I'm not saying this is 100% true, but virtually anyone and everyone talking about the details of Michigan State's football coaching search right now is making them up, because there's no details to speak of. Something like talking to or interviewing a guy who's not a coach right now, that's possible. But any sitting coach is not taking an interview right now. Just didn't happen.
Yeah, that's just pulling straws. And when you get the coach, I mean, I would say, and you made a point the other day about we're right in the center pin of Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. We're in that little location there where it makes it even that more difficult to recruit.
It does.
And it's, and if you get a guy that can recruit throughout Ohio and all those, but you can get a guy that can recruit even outside of the United States and find good football players.
Well, the thing is, it's a serious thing where state finds itself geographically. It's a challenge, but it doesn't mean people would be afraid of the job because of it. I mean, last I checked, LSU still gets good coaches, right? Even though they're surrounded by Texas on one flank, Oklahoma to the northwest. They've got Alabama right next door, Florida and Florida State, and Miami right next door. I don't hear anyone talking all the time, oh, geez, there's so many big brands to recruit against. Like, that doesn't turn a lot of coaches off.
Yeah. So, one more thing. So, we put this big contract on Mel Tucker, you know, almost $100 million, and then you go to recruit to get another coach, and do you just second guess yourself about hiring a guy that you're going to pay big money to, or you fall on your face again? Are you willing to pay out $100 million again?
I think it completely is dependent on the candidate, right? Like Urban Meyer, if it was a serious, real thing, I'm sure he would get a lot more money in an offer from MSU than, any MAC coach, right? It depends. There's going to be risk involved no matter who it is, right? Like, everyone seems to agree that Urban Meyer is like the home run, a number one guy. He could come in and turn it around immediately. But there would still be some risk involved that he couldn't do it the same because college football's changed so much in the last 5 years, right?
Yeah. The name, image, and likeness, the portal. Yeah. And, I'm sure that, like you said, Clemson, it's hurting Clemson right now because Deebo Samuel doesn't want to use it. And even Alabama's still good, but I don't know how much Saban uses it. So he's just one because, you know, he's Saban. So he's the goat of the college coaching. So,
yeah. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
I'm up against it, but I think it's not going to be the same money or offer regardless of who the guy is, right? My buddy told me, and I'm seeing this now on the message board, a Red Cedar message board, they're talking about Chip Kelly as a candidate. Apparently someone in Detroit radio mentioned that today, which I would be good with. Guy's built two programs. Proof is in the pudding. He's on the wrong side of 50 or 55, but I think you can make that exception for someone who's, you would feel pretty confident about making a quick impact. And I think he would. Here's how I feel about it. I'm not trying to shut off any particular kind of candidate. I told Chip Paul earlier, I don't think as a rule you should say I'm not interested in any MAC coaches. Because if you do that, well, eventually you miss somebody. Like Nick Saban was in the MAC. And he got his shot. Urban Meyer, you know, on and on. Bo Schembechler back in the day. So I'm not necessarily, as a rule, I'm not opposed to that. But I do think states like Plan A should be higher than Lance Leipold at Kansas. And no offense to him, but I think we should aim our sights higher than starting, our Plan A there. I mean, what would he be to me, like a Plan C? Here's a name. This is going to open me up to, I don't care, whatever. If you hate it, fine. You think I'm an idiot, fine. You're going to think that anyway. But here's a name. Why not Luke Fickell? The very worst, you call him again, get told no again. But Beanie, he's been at Wisconsin for 1 year. So the last guy was at the job for 1 year, and you eventually flashed enough cash that it wasn't that big of a problem. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin's paying him $7.8 per year. So you'd have to make it worth his while. At least $10 million, right? But state has more advantages, you know, more resources than Wisconsin does. Now, if you believe the public line that last time it was campus concerns and cultural concerns that kept him away from here, okay, fine. I'm just telling you, that's not what it was. I think a lot of people would tell you that. But anyway, if Michigan State had a united front this time, called Luke Fickell 1 year at Wisconsin, said, hey, $12 million, I suspect he would listen. And at the worst, again, the worst that could happen is you get told no. So? Who cares? Make them say no. I feel the same way about Urban Meyer. Worst thing he can say is no. All right, cool. No harm, no foul. At least we tried. We can move on. Defensive-minded, I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Doubting Industries presentation of high school football rolls on with week number 7. It's the Charlotte Orioles at the Portland Raiders this Friday night. Pre-game coverage begins at 6 o'clock with interviews with both coaches, plus an interview with Brian Callaway, the prep sports editor of the Lansing State Journal. And then game coverage begins just before 7 o'clock from Portland High School. High school football rolls on here on your trusted source for high school sports coverage. The game, 7:30 a.m. WVFN, brought to you by Doubting Industries and the Lansing Sports Commission.
All right, we're back. Just long enough for me to say bye, really. I'll read a couple of emails. Steve from email, formerly known as Daily Double, says, Beanie, it's so nice to be discussing who should be MSU's football coach. The alternative would have been discussing the prior coach's contract after every game all season long. Hey, that's a positive way to look at it. Appreciate that, Steve. And Bass Boat Randy says, he sends me a picture of what his wife got him for their 36th wedding anniversary, and it looks to be a brand new Ram 1500. Wow. I need to talk to my lady about upping her birthday present game. Well, anyway, happy birthday or happy wedding anniversary. And he says he's going to get her. You're going to get your wife a car next week? Man, I didn't realize the bass boats were in such a high tax bracket. Dealing with royalty over here. Are you a college football coach? Nice. Well, congratulations. So tomorrow we're back at it 4 to 6. We'll have the picks and all that. We'll have some fun tomorrow. There's no MSU to worry about this weekend. Thank God. You get a reprieve from that. We can still talk about this. And Dr. J will be here to enlighten us all. So until for tomorrow, I'm Beanie. Be safe and be good.